Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I am your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have with me once again Quentin Henning. Quentin is the technical advisor for the Lion One Metals. It has a very exciting gold project known as the Tuvutu Gold Project in the Fiji Islands. And he is here today on behalf of Lion One Metals, as I say, which I am pleased to have with me as a sponsor as well to this show. It's a very exciting story. Lion One Metals trades in Toronto under the symbol LIO. You can buy it in the United States, as I have, under the symbol LOMLF. 106.2 million shares out at $1.43 in U.S. money, giving it a market cap of about $152 million. Interestingly enough, management owns a big chunk of the stock, something like 22%. And the last I checked, the institutions hold something like 28%. So we're really looking at a company that has 50% of its shares tightly held. So it's a pretty tight share structure. Until recently, the company's Tuvutu gold project was viewed as a modest-sized project with good economics. But now, with a revised vision of the nature of the company's project, the geological views have changed somewhat with regard to the project, and it's starting to evolve into something much larger, potentially much larger scale, and that has obviously has the market somewhat excited. It is the share price has risen significantly over the last few weeks, and so I'm really happy to have Dr. Quentin Henning with me today. He is the geological advisor to Lion One Metals to be with us to talk about what's going on the Tuvutu Gold Project. Thank you for joining me again, Quentin.
Certainly, Jay.
You know, you have envisioned the Tuvutu Gold Project to be an alkaline gold deposit. When you were on the show a couple of weeks ago, you noted that alkaline gold deposits are rare, but when you find them, they are usually larger high-grade deposits. Wally Burakoff, who is the chairman of this company, he's had a lot of success in his career. He was instrumental in developing the project to the point where it is permitted for production. And as I recall, the economics looked reasonably good, but now the market seems to be interested in your view that the Tuvutu deposit is of a different nature that bodes well for a much larger scale. I believe you refer to it as an alkaline deposit, as we just noted. And because alkaline deposits are relatively rare, not all the geologists that I know, in fact, very few of them have come across them. Can you tell our listeners in lay terms what an alkaline deposit is, and then what did you see in Wally Burakoff's project that caused you to think he may have a monster gold deposit on his hands?
Sure thing. So alkaline gold deposits are gold deposits that are associated with magmas or melts, you know, that come up from the deep in the crust, and they have a lot of alkaline metals. Alkaline metals, in particular potassium, these magmas can dissolve or carry a lot of gold with them. So when they come up and they start crystallizing, the fluids that are in the magma, they don't have a home, so they have to start leaving, all right? And they carry incompatible metals with them, gold being one of them. And, you know, these systems, the reason they're so large is because these magmas, first of all, seem to be well endowed with gold, but then this process by which the gold is effectively flushed out of the system during the waning stages of emplacement and then, you know, forced upwards into little cracks in the ground above, that's what makes these things so special. It often makes them very high grade. So the things that caught my attention, when you look at the style of mineralization at Tuvutu, the little veinlets often have abundant visible gold. When I say little veinlets, they're often, you know, sometimes a millimeter in size, no more than a millimeter wide, so more like cracks of anything. And that tells me that the process, that alkaline process, the one that creates these very high-grade things, is certainly alive and well at Tuvutu. And look, usually when you find this style of mineralization, it leads to more and more and more. So in this case, we've been very fortunate.
So you began testing your theory, your hypothesis that this is an alkaline deposit, and you put the company went ahead and put down a deeper hole underneath the existing pit constraint deposit, and you intersected 4.29 meters, grading 33.22 grams per ton gold. Aside from the high-grade gold content as a geologist, what did you see in that hole that suggested that you were onto an alkaline deposit?
Yeah, the deep hole was our first test. It kind of tagged the bottom of the system. It's in a place where a lot of the lodes, we call them, are coming together like branches on a tree. The current resources, we're actually looking at developing underground. So this is basically a continuation of that underground resource, and in a place where it seems there's a critical juncture between one or more or two or more of these lodes. So, you know, the 4.29 meters, a bit wider than average intercepts on the property, and the grade is certainly very high grade. So the other thing that caught our attention was the brecciated nature of the mineralization. It seems quite interesting and unique for what's been seen on the property to date.
So it's like let's say branches on a tree coming together, and you're looking for the trunk of the tree, perhaps? Is that what, is that an analogy?
Well, that's exactly right. You know, these fractures that are filled with this high-grade gold mineralization, they tap that deeper source. When that magma came up, it probably parked itself somewhere down in the crust, maybe a kilometer or so below ground, maybe a bit more. We don't know. But it's that process whereby the fluids come out of it, and then they get flushed upwards into the nearer surface environment in these fractures. It's the fluids have to follow conduits, and the conduits, you know, if you lead them back down, it's kind of like following plumbing in a house. You know, as you follow the plumbing down, and then out of the house, you find it connects into something bigger.
Yeah. On January 22nd, Lion One reported the first part of a second deeper hole to be drilled in to test the alkaline theory. What did you learn about that hole, and why was it only the top or the upper portion of it reported?
Yeah, so we started the deep hole with the intention of testing below the 4.29 meters at 33.22. The hole had to be temporarily terminated due to the capacity of the rig. But the hole, in short, it started to flexure upward. And in doing so, the torque, the ability for the rig to spin the rods decreased. And we thought, we better not lock the rods in the ground. So we pulled the HQ pipe out, but it is ready to go down with NQ and continue. What we learned from the hole, look, the top of the hole actually went through part of the Maroa lodes, which are kind of a westward extension of the Tuvatu system. And it actually intersected the M2 lode, which in the drill hole, the news that we reported recently, it intersected something like 3 meters of 13 grams. So very pleased to see that, because that's really the deepest intercept on that load, and it tells us it's wide open at depth. But the hole did not make it down to the target yet. Now, what we did see in the hole, there was, it was pretty stout potassic alteration. So we're quite optimistic that the hole is heading in the right direction, and we'll look forward to continuing. In the meantime, we've got our third deep hole underway, and the third deep hole actually comes at the same area, but from the east to the west. All right, so it's steeper, and we're drilling it right now. So far, we have had no problems with this hole, and we think we can get this one down no problem. In the meantime, the NQ pipe, which is smaller diameter, is due to arrive in Fiji sometime in the next couple of weeks, maybe 3-4 weeks. And we'll be able to continue that second deep hole.
That will allow you, so you have the equipment to go deep, and how deep do you expect you may be looking to drill in the near term?
Yeah, most of these holes that we have planned, the deeper ones at Tuvatu, test down in the realm of 800 to meters to a kilometer below surface. We're really looking to extend the resources. As many people know who follow the story, the current resource goes down, say, 350 to 400 meters below the present surface. We want to try to double that, or at least demonstrate that the system persists down to double that depth. You know, that way we can show very quickly that this is a much bigger system just based on the area around Tuvatu, you know, let alone all the upside exploration outside. Look, we just got access to Navalawa middle of last year, and we did a heap of work there. There will be news on what we're seeing up in the Navalawa tenement to the north of Tuvatu very shortly. It's just a continuation of Tuvatu. It's a very exciting point in time, because the property is absolutely ripe for more discovery.
Yeah. Does that include then, I think it was something like a 7.5 kilometer strike length. Is that the extent of it?
That's correct. So from from Tuvalu northward. The guys have been out working in a corridor that extends, I believe, almost 6 kilometers to the north and northeast. And, you know, they're finding outcropping veins of mineralization within the road cuts that they're making. So very optimistic. The system will grow dramatically over the next few months or couple of years.
Mm-hmm. And so how soon might we get some more drill results?
You're probably going to see, okay, the drill results, the third hole is 150 meters down, I believe, right now, and they are double shifting it now, so things are going along faster. If they start assaying that from top, we might have to release, you know, say the top bit first and then the bottom bit, which is going to target the deeper part of the system. I would say over the next 2 to 4 weeks, probably see some results out of that. The extension of the second hole, when we go back in NQ, if they get to drilling, I would anticipate being able to release results fairly quickly after that recommences, because I believe they're pretty close to the target. I'd say they're within 100 meters of the target there. So touch wood, I think we'll have some news in, say, a month's time. In the meantime, we, because the guys are up in Navalawa and working, you know, collecting surface samples and stuff, I do anticipate some really encouraging news out of that realm, too. So stay tuned for that.
All right. So we're looking at potentially a very, very large project. And assuming the exploration results keep leading you on the direction that you anticipate and that you see so far pointing towards a large-scale alkaline project, this is going to cost a lot of money to drill. How well-funded is the company right now to finance your current exploration plans?
Yes. So the company currently has around 17 million Canadian. We did the financing in, I believe it closed late November. That brought in another 11.5 million. Attached to that is a warrant. The warrants are at $1.20. I believe exercise of all of those warrants brings in somewhere around 16 or 17 million. See, the company is being in very good shape. The stock price is above the exercise price of those warrants. I would anticipate that money coming in. So I think it's all systems go. I've told Wally that I would like to see, you know, aggressive exploration here to really flesh out the size of this system over the next couple of years. And that's why we strategize putting, you know, getting this money in the bank, and we have plenty of money to work with now.
Yeah, and certainly if you start to look at something that's large scale with good grades, you shouldn't have too much trouble raising money. And I can't imagine that some of the big boys aren't somewhat aware of what you're doing there. But then that's something I guess you'll comment on when it's time to do so. I know that you're a technical advisor on the Tuvalu project, so maybe this is not a fair question for you. Maybe it's one for Wally. But this is a company that Wally took to almost to the point of production where you have permits in place to actually produce gold there now, on a relatively small scale. I would think this certainly can't be a negative, having that, and in fact, maybe a positive somewhere along the way. Maybe as you're looking for the big monster, at least you have the capacity to move forward and on some scale. Or is that just, I mean, I'm just speculating. I don't know if it's fair to ask you to comment on it, but what are your thoughts if you care to share them?
I would say it's absolutely positive. It demonstrates you can mine in Fiji. This project is fully permitted. It's, you know, like you said, basically ready to go. While he was pursuing developing a mine at Tuvalu over the past few years, of course, the past few years have been rather bleak in the gold sector, difficult to raise money. But in spite of that, they have managed to prepare a site. In fact, I was up there about 5 days ago, and the site preparation is largely done at this point. So they're ready to rock and roll in that sense. Not the actual equipment and facilities, yes. but the site is fully prepped. I would say that it's certainly an option that they're continuing to pursue. Lion One really needs to maintain that path towards production, but in the meantime, wow, what an excellent story. You know, not only are you on the path to production, but you have this excellent exploration upside that you know, could show the thing could underpin a larger operation. So that's my job. That's my department.
Yeah, it's a really exciting story, Quentin, I must say, that we might be missing. I did want to ask you, I think another press release went out, actually February 5. You provided some news stating that the company has discovered a structural network at Tuvalu. Can you comment on that press release? Because I think that's probably very important. But from a lay perspective, can you tell us why?
It is. Look, when I started to help Lion One, the first thing I suggested, they do a CSAMT survey, controlled source audiomagnetotool works. Big mouthful of words. Look, it's basically an electrical survey. It looks at the properties of the rock below subsurface. You know, we're talking about their electrical resistivity in this case. What it shows you are places where there's a contrast between one rock type and another, all right? And usually in those areas, you get fractures. That's where, you know, fractures and faults love to focus, is between different types of rocks, all right? So this, basically, this survey outlines or shows us these gradients, and by looking at the gradients, interpreting them, and their surface expression, we can see quite clearly now that this is a structural network that could host a very large gold system. It's basically a complex series of faults. Some are north-south, some are east-west, some are even northeast. And all of these are intersecting and really converging in the Tuvalu and Navalawa area. Right now, like I'll tell you, in my experience, alkaline systems, you know, Rattlesnake Hills in Wyoming, Springpole in Canada, the work, you know, I certainly know Cripple Creek here in Colorado. This type of data is absolutely critical for advancing these projects, and Tuvalu is exceptional. It shows an absolute crystal clear picture of the structural controls.
Mm-hmm. So that will really help you then in determining where you put the drills. Where you do your drilling, right?
So precisely.
Right. Well, it's really exciting. I'm really, really looking forward to drill results coming out, obviously, and the ongoing project. I want to thank you so much for helping us understand this. Quentin, anything else you'd like to share with us before we conclude our discussion today?
Yeah, look, what we're trying to do at Mine One is build a very clear path forward in the exploration. You know, we've done all the things that we've told the market we're going to do. We've done the BLEG work in the Navalawa Caldera, mm-hmm. the CSAMT survey. We're developing, you know, we're out there sampling and prospecting right now to develop new drill targets. The way this will unfold is, you know, it's kind of twofold. It's two-pronged. We have the deep drilling under Tuvalu. That will show that system continues at depth. And then we have the other front, which is the drill targets in the new area, the Navalawa area to the north. It's part of the Tuvalu system, but it has not been explored yet. So we're basically unlocking things at a brownfields level around Tuvalu, but a greenfields level around Navalawa, and I would urge people to go back and read news releases so you can see the methods that we're pursuing to reach this goal of showing this is a multi-million ounce system.
All right. Very good. Well, thank you so much, Quentin, for being with us today, and it's really an exciting story, and all the best. We'll look to keep up with this story on an ongoing basis. Thank you so much.
Thank you.